Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our series from Psalm 59, really giving the context of what led Saul to send men to over to David's house in order to kill him. Tonight's message is going to be called The Fallout, explaining how Saul came to this point.
Yeah, we really looked at three different ways that it just escalated in Saul's life to this point of that he's, you know, makes two attempts on David's life, and then, you know, David makes his escape, and then he sends men to his house to kill him. And how did it come to this point? And it's worthwhile to remember that Saul was anointed king by the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? He was the Lord's anointed. And in 1 Samuel 13 is when he has his first moment of just disobedience. There's two major moments, 1 Samuel 13 and 1 Samuel 15. And in 13, what happens there is he offered the burnt offering himself, which we know was only for the priests. You can see that also in 2 Chronicles 26 when Uzziah tries to burn the incense himself. Okay, so that was not for the king to do, that was for the priest. And Samuel responds to him then in verse 13. He says, "You acted foolishly. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time, but now your kingdom will not endure." So the first thing that goes because of this disobedience is just his future. Mm. Right, where it says there for all time. So it's interesting because it's, you know, we talked about this tonight. We talked about the conditional will of God and the unconditional will of God. And the unconditional will of God being that, you know, the kingdom of God is going to advance to the earth, right? And the Lord's going to work out his purposes. And one of those is that he was going to establish with just this lineage of kings is that this is who Jesus was going to come through then, right? And this throne was going to be established forever. Mm-hmm. And this then, according to this verse, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time.
Yeah.
So this was that Saul was the one that's going to be in this role. So you would not be referring to Christ as the son of David, but as the son of Saul.
Yeah.
Right, that was the unconditional will of God that this was going to be accomplished, and then it was going to be accomplished through Saul. But there's the conditional will, because Saul was not obedient, mm-hmm. did not follow through on keeping the Lord's commands. That was the first consequence of his disobedience, was that he lost just his future over this.
Yeah, you know, just a sobering section, and one thing to notice about the conditional versus the unconditional will of God, God's will is going to be done no matter what. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can come against the will of the Lord.
Are you along for the ride, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and understand that the Lord still gives you free will,
right?
So he's not going to force you to do something for him. You know, hopefully it's just out of the overflow of your heart, right? And that's why, you know, Samuel says, you know, the Lord's going to choose someone who is after my own heart,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone that I can trust, right? And so understanding that, you know, with the Lord, it's like you have a actual relationship. You know, the Lord is real, and he has desires, and he has standards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's to be, you know, feared. It's
right.
to be respected, right?
Right.
You know, God's not someone that you can just kick around. If he says, hey, you know, the Levites are the ones to do this burnt offering, and all of a sudden, you start getting prideful. You start forgetting, what does he say? You were once small in your own eyes. And,
yeah.
you know, you start to see he's not anymore. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, who is the Lord to say this? Oh, surely I'm special enough. I can do whatever I want. You know, that's not the case. You know, you got to fear the Lord, and you got to be in step with the Lord. And hopefully that's your heart. You know, we all fall short from time to time, but, you know, hopefully, you know, as we will continue to get through tonight, hopefully you're showing yourself and through your actions that the Lord can trust you and you're willing to be obedient and be under his reign and, follow his path.
Mm-hmm.
So that's step one is, or the first point tonight of just his first disobedience, which caused him his future.
Right, his future, yeah. And then 1 Samuel 15, if you look at that, now it's costing him his present. Mm. Because he is given this mission. He does not carry it through. Right? Where the Lord comes to Samuel in verse 10, "I'm grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. You see pride out of Saul in verse 12. You see arrogance in verse 16, denial in verse 20, appeasement in verse 30, where he's being confronted on this lack of obedience by Samuel. And instead of confessing his sin, he's pushing back, and you know, he's not confessing his sin here. We talked about the importance of that just a couple weeks ago, that the biggest if in all scripture, right? If we confess our sins. Well, he is disobedient again here, and then he's not confessing it, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's his present that's going to be lost, right? Samuel said to him, verse 28, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you." Right, so you don't have that identification that is David up until it's first. If you flip forward in 1 Samuel 28, that's when it's ultimately said, then this is David, mm-hmm. right? But at this point, he's just being told that, you know, now the kingdom is being taken away from him right away to one of his neighbors. Mm-hmm. So because of his disobedience, he's lost his future and he's lost his present. And now he's got a spiritual problem on his hands here in 1 Samuel 16.
Yeah, the only thing I could add to what you just said is I think a lot of times for most people, the future is kind of so abstract.
Yes, yes.
That they don't really, you know, take it as seriously as right. they should, mm-hmm. you know, and that's probably out of pride, you know, thinking you can do something in your own mind or you can change it or who are you to say, you know?
Yep.
So that's sobering to think about. You know, your future can literally be taken away. The will and the plan of God can literally be altered.
Yes.
By your actions, right? And by, like you said, your disobedience. To know that today, right? Because we all feel the pain of the moment, right?
Right.
To know that your today can be taken, you know, that's even to the nth degree of, you know, hey, I better be walking in obedience. I better know, you know, what does God say about this? And am I going to humble myself to agree with it and walk faithfully?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and that does take us to 1 Samuel 16.
Yeah, because now this disobedience, now he's got a spiritual problem. This is in 1 Samuel 16, 14. It says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." This is a very scary verse, right? Because it's, you know, the Holy Spirit that, you know, gives us that wisdom and discernment, and, you know, instead of being just carnal and operating off our flesh, now he's guiding us into all truth, right? And the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul, right? Ephesians 4 tells you, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, right? And Jesus tells you in the Gospels that all sin will be forgiven men.
Except
the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, right? So there's just a lot of gravity that comes to that, and it's not something to be taken for granted here. And into this vacuum, then, of the Holy Spirit leaving comes a demon, mm-hmm. right? And you can see here that it's tormenting him, right? So because of the spiritual problem, right? Spiritual problems, as we talked about tonight, spiritual problems always become natural problems. Mm-hmm. There's not some kind of separation here where it's just like, I got this spiritual problem and it's going to stay in this sequestered part of my life, or it's going to stay here. It's always going to spread into more. In this case, it's the mental.
Yeah.
We touched on that tonight. It can also be the physical as well. Psalm 32, 1 Corinthians 11, right? Both talking about just physical weakness just because of, you know, spiritual problems.
Yeah.
And then the opposite of that weakness being strength, where you see that in Isaiah 40. You see that in Psalm 18. Right, where it's, you know, just physical strength from being in a good place spiritually.
Yep.
So when that spiritual is in a bad place, now you're getting this, you're getting the mental and often physical problems that come along with it. And what Saul's dealing with here is the mental problems.
Yeah, and, you know, just for reference, this is a verse that you brought up tonight. You know, this comes from Galatians 5. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes into, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, right? And we're going to see, you know, the fact that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, all of a sudden, you know, he has this spiritual problem, which transforms, like you said, into a mental problem, eventually a physical problem. You're going to see that sinful nature is going to take over and just amplify the pain for Saul, you know, where he does have, fits of rage. He does start envying David. If you want to follow up with the verses where he does that.
Yeah, so he's got this spiritual problem, right? And the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Into this vacuum comes this demon who's now tormenting him. They're trying to medicate this through music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through David, right? So David was someone who was identified as, you know, knows how to play the harp. And that was the recommendation to Saul then, is that, you know, he will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you and you will feel better. And that does come to pass. That's verse 23. It says, whenever the spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He'd feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. So this is initially working as a form of just medication here,
mm-hmm.
where once again, this is a spiritual problem, but this is now manifesting as he's, you know, what we call mental health problems today, right? And the music's helping with this. But then as you referenced, his sin nature is really compounding this problem. Some of the things that Tyler just read, you know, anger, jealousy, envy, this is really cropping up here that after David then kills Goliath, there's this song that goes viral. We've talked about that in weeks past. But the song that goes viral, and it says that verse 8, this is 1 Samuel 18:8, Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. The refrain being, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So you're getting this jealousy, this envy, this anger, everything that we just read from Galatians, that the, you know, acts of the sinful nature, okay? Verse 10, the next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. So remember, in the past, boom, it would come on him, play the harp, and give relief. Now, though, it says he was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did.
Mm-hmm.
Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. So now you're seeing where this, you know, playing the harp isn't having the same effect that it did before. Mm-hmm. Instead, now he literally tries to murder David.
Mm.
And that happens again then in chapter 19. That's when David makes good his escape, and that's what takes us up to where we are in Psalm 59, where now he, you know, it's that that night, right, where he sends men to his house to watch it and to kill him in the morning.
Yeah.
So now it's escalated to where David, who's done nothing wrong, Saul's trying to murder him. So the sequence that you got here is this disobedience has led to this spiritual problem, has led to his sin nature compounding this to now the point where things are just, you know, things are getting out of control for Saul, and this is all going to just collapse in on him. So it's gone from him being the Lord's anointed, that he's been placed in this position for this, to now it's just collapsing in on him. And then, you know, we know the end conclusion here where, you know, he ends up getting stapled to the wall.
Yeah,
by the Philistines, right? Who, you know, cut off his head and also kill his sons and defeat the army of Israel in the sequence. So it's really a really sad sequence, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a sobering sequence.
Yeah,
there's a lot of notes about this. I noted tonight that both in 1 Samuel 13 and 15, both his these major acts of disobedience. If you want to try to find a commonality there, is he was both these situations he was more afraid of men.
Yep.
Than he was of God.
Yeah.
And I see that as a very important point, because it's like, instead of fearing the Lord and that keeping him obedient to the Lord, he was very worried about what men were going to think.
Yeah.
And that really was just an impetus to his behavior in both situations.
Yeah. On top of that, because the biggest takeaway for me as well is, you know, just fear the Lord. you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a sobering word because it's so easy to just get distracted by life, to get distracted by, you know, whatever problems could arise or whatever adversities you face. It's very easy to just start fearing, you know, your modern day circumstances, whether that be men or, you know, something not working out for you. And it's so important to realize that God is in control and, you know, it's the Lord who you serve. And yep. It's the Lord who has a plan, right? And so if I can just, you know, wake up every day and just fear the Lord, that's going to put me in the best spot possible just to be obedient to the Lord. And we know that if you're obedient to the Lord, victory is right around the corner, no matter what it is. And we see that play out time and time after again. The Lord promises that. But one of the great points that was brought up tonight was, you know, the difference between Saul and David, because David wasn't perfect. David right. had his mess ups, and we've talked about that at right. length earlier
yeah.
In months past. But just understand that the sobering thing is it didn't have to be this way for Saul. It was through Saul's own actions. I understand that God is love, and God had a great plan for Saul initially. Right. He said this would have been through – this kingdom would have been established through you forever.
For all time.
For all time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Lord had for him if he would have just been faithful over it, right?
Right.
If he would have feared him, if he would have just followed through, if he would have stayed obedient, if he would have stayed small in his own eyes, like, that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
It was his own actions and his own disobedience and his own fear of men and idols, putting things above God, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that's what we have to watch out for. We talked about those verses from 1 Corinthians 10,
where yeah.
and you can go over that if you'd like. But these are examples for us, right?
Right.
So don't overlook these examples, even though it's an uncomfortable topic. It's a sobering and convicting topic, 100%. But it's here for us to serve us and to encourage us to say, hey, you know, if I put the Lord first, if I seek first the kingdom, you know, God has good plans for me and he wants to bless me and he wants to have his unconditional will done through me. And I can have a part in that.
Right.
All I have to do is be faithful. All I have to do is abide in him. Right. And so, you know, the difference between Saul and David, just that true repentance, right? Because it was a great question tonight, you know, what was the difference between Saul and David? It's like Saul gave some lip service. You know, he initially came out with, you know, pride and denial and all this, but there were times where he said, I have sinned, but it wasn't genuine, right? It was, you know, make sure I look good in front of this and look good in front of that, you know.
Honor me before the elders of Israel.
Exactly, yeah. Right? So, you know, the difference between lip service and, you know, am I genuine about my repentance and do I really want to wholeheartedly turn from this and just seek the Lord and be a man after God's own heart. You know, those are my big takeaways for sure.
Yeah, what Tyler's talking about there is from 1 Samuel 15, because if you remember the sin that David committed with Bathsheba, mm-hmm. and we covered that on the pod, so you guys can go back episodes and see. There was major pain from that and major problems that came about because of that sin. It was not like David was just let off the hook, right? But he was forgiven for it because when he was confronted on the sin, he said, I've sinned against the Lord. And that confession, Psalm 51, that's his confession there, right? So he confessed his sin.
The Spirit of the Lord did not depart from him.
Right, which is what he says in Psalm 51, right? Mm-hmm. He says for, you know, do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Saul, when he is disobedient in 1 Samuel 15, so it starts with after he does not follow out the Lord's instructions, he sets up a monument in his own honor. Okay, 1 Samuel 15, 12. Okay, Samuel reaches and the first thing out of his mouth, the Lord bless you, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Samuel confronts him on it. Okay, and then you see arrogance then in verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see denial in verse 20. Okay, and then you see after all this, still appeasement in verse 30, where he's still worried about how does this look to everybody else and let me try to make, you know, everybody happy with this instead of just following out what the Lord called him to do. So it's a completely different response that you see in 1 Samuel 15 versus what you see And I believe that is, what are we talking, Second Samuel 12, when Nathan rebukes David. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like what we talked about a few weeks back.
The biggest if.
Right, the biggest if in Scripture, if we confess our sin. It starts with we have to confess our sin and agree with God that it's wrong. To say the same thing, that's what it means to confess, to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really comes down from just that humility. You referenced that, you know, Samuel said to Saul, were you not once small in your own eyes, right? And his pride really became a problem for him, right? And, you know, it's an impetus to this fallout, right? Because his pride, it was his pride that was telling him to protect his image and how did he look to other people and fearing people instead of fearing the Lord, you know? So, yeah, it's really a sobering teaching tonight, you know. And Tyler referenced 1 Corinthians 10 as well. That's warnings from Israel's history where it just says, you know, going over how even though the Israelites were, you know, just exposed to, they're baptized in Moses and the cloud and the sea, you know, they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Psalm 95, Hebrews 4, right? Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. It gives more examples there. In verse 7 through 10, it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Right. So definitely a sobering word, but hopefully the takeaway for everybody listening to that is just the importance of the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you can be positioned for greatness and God has set you in that. But through your own disobedience and incompetence with carrying that through. Okay. Right. Then somebody can be subbed in. Right. And if you really want to get into it, then, you know, because it says, you know, man after God's own heart, which was David, which means that David was already being prepped on the sidelines for this.
Yeah.
That if Saul was going to botch this, guess who was getting subbed in? So there you see the unconditional will of God. It was going to get accomplished. It's just, as you said, is it going to get accomplished with me? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be a part of this?
Yeah.
Or am I going to get pushed aside because I'm not walking along with the will of God? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, well, am I walking in God's will?
Yeah.
Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
Right?
And do you value that more than men?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the fallout of Saul. It just puts us where we are in Psalm 59. Hope you guys have a blessed week. We'll be back at it next week, further teaching. Tyler Fenske, this is the Monday Night Pod.